new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long. I'm back. Did He's y'all miss me?
Back.
I missed you.
You were gone. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, get used to it, folks.
Yes, we sort of unofficially announced that in the last episode that you were going to take a step back and
take a step back.
You might be a monthly appearance.
Write my next great American novel.
You're going to be like a special appearance guy. You'll be a recurring character.
I'll be a recurring character.
That's right.
It was fun this whole year. I said I committed for a whole year. I didn't miss one week.
That's right.
You know, I needed to get some thoughts off my chest as far as like pop culture, but you know.
You're still a part of the show. You'll come along once a month, maybe do some Patreon episodes with us. You'll
kiss some babies, rub some asses.
You'll come hang out at Comicpalooza with us.
Yeah. I'll be there for Comicpalooza. I'll be there for the
200th episode this year we will hit. And so, big milestone.
Yeah.
And maybe some more live shows in our future.
Don't cry.
No, I felt like I was going to burp on air. That'd be awesome.
You always burp on air.
No, actually, the funniest thing we ever had, and no one noticed it. And do you remember the episode where, like, I farted? And, like, he came out, and we started laughing, right?
Yeah.
And I went to edit it out, right, the laughing, but the fart still was on the episode. But you can't really tell. It just sort of sounds like a microphone. And
like a
poof. That was back in the Frank days of the show. But, yeah, it happens, you know. I mean, I'm sure there's worse things that have happened on microphones or who knows what people do behind the scenes while they're recording.
That's true.
But how are you, fellas?
It's a terrible Friday.
Horrible, bad weather.
You have to sit at the DPS and then...
Get shafted by my freaking dealership for not honoring their four-year maintenance program.
Well, they do anything to save money.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right.
Oh, I remember one time I had the same thing warranty on there, and they wanted me to pay them like $75 to run their test. I was like, fuck, I'm not paying you anything. I have a warranty on this. And sure enough, they didn't make me pay the $75, but I'm like... Fuck's the point paying the warranty? I'm gonna pay you to run a test on the car.
Exactly.
You know? So yeah, I'd do anything to try to make a buck.
Well, I paid them my money. I said that's the last time I'm taking my stuff to the dealership.
Well, then you had to sit in the DPS line, which is never fun.
No.
Heck no.
And then I'm telling you bad Asian jokes and stuff.
Man, I walked in there. I took my number. My number was 3214, and the number that was being served was 2700.
Motherfucker.
Wow.
Yeah. 2,700, so I had to wait through...
500 people?
500 people were in front of me.
There were that many people in that place?
Yes.
Holy shit.
It was a very big office.
It's a big lobby in that office.
Yeah, they have two large waiting areas.
But it's due on your birthday this month?
Huh?
It's due on your birthday this month?
Yeah, it expires on my birthday.
I would have gone back. I'd be like, fuck it, I'll come back later.
Yeah, but I got it done. Yeah. It's fine. You know? Yeah. 3.5 hours... Thankfully, I charged my phone at 100%. I was watching a bunch of YouTube videos and stuff like that. So,
well, you're here now to let loose a little bit.
Yeah.
And we were, like, talking earlier, like, there's supposed to be some massive storm coming through Houston tonight, and looks like the thing is petering out a little bit. That's like, I think
the winds died down, too.
Yeah.
Is it going to be cold tomorrow?
Sunday morning. It's supposed to get down to, like, 35.
Nice.
As a high or a low?
Low. High is like 50-something. So, yeah, it's going to cool down.
Jacket weather.
Yeah. Just a little front. We haven't had any really cold days this winter.
Nah, not really.
I remember living up north. The highs were 35, and the lows were in the zeros.
Oh, wow. That's
awesome.
Yeah.
I love the cold weather.
Yeah, and people brag about being good drivers down here. It's like, nope. You can't brag about being a good driver unless you drove on ice.
There's good drivers in Houston? Really?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know.
Some are braggadocious. You know, especially pickup drivers, they think they can own the road with their wasted resources on wheels, right? But let's see them drive their rear-wheel drive up in the black ice highways, you know?
Black ice, isn't that car freshener stuff? No? It's black ice. It's a cologne. It goes on smooth.
That's great, Matt.
No, the only cologne is we were talking before the show is Gwyneth Paltrow has a candle out that smells like her vagina.
It's true.
That's the only cologne.
Are you sure that's...
What is it? Well, if you read the article, the joke was that she has some show, I guess, on Netflix called Goop or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's like a lifestyle show. And she has candles made by her company or whatever. And it starts a joke that she goes, oh, that kind of smells like a vagina. And they all laughed about it. So they ended up selling. They decided to sell the candle as like Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina.
Well, so, there was this one Twitch streamer.
Yeah.
Who, what was it, almost a year ago, was selling bathwater, used bathwater.
Wow.
And then, like, supposedly some guys claimed that they got gonorrhea or something from drinking it or something.
What?
And then she...
Why would you drink it?
Yeah, drink it or whatever. But she went online. She says, you guys are lying because I've never sent anything out yet. You know?
Yeah.
So she could prove that it's not her, you know? That's fucking... So people were just fucking freaking lying.
Well, it's like in Japan and shit. You can walk into a fucking store and they sell, like, used panties and stuff. That's like a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's gross. I don't know. I'm not like a germaphobe, but no thanks. I don't want used panties. It's like, no, you can keep those. But Matt's like,
man, interesting.
Matt's like, I'm going to go order some tonight. I'm going to go find a website.
Who used them? It's probably some dude.
Or lady boy or something.
Who knows? But yeah, it's been an interesting week. So let me get your opinion. And anyone listening, chime in. So my sister-in-law got married to this guy. I was a little worried about him because before they got married, he called in because his back was sore.
Rebel Radio dating show.
Yeah, that his back was sore. Sore. And he went to the emergency room.
Are you trying to say worried. Your sister-in-law did something to him?
No, I'm saying that he's a wimp. Because, like, this past week, he called in because he had a cough. And he couldn't go to work because he had a cough. I'm very worried.
Wait, does it work for your company? How do you know all this?
Thankfully, no. But he, gossip, you know, her, they live with my mother-in-law.
How old is he?
He is like 20.
Welcome to the under 22 millennials.
Yeah. I was like, I just found out I had a, you know, a herniated disc in my back.
And I had to say that because, you know, I don't want millennials to take offense. Cause
some millennials.
Exennials.
Yeah, because some millennials do work in their, you know, but the younger ones, what, exennials, whatever you call them. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like
after the millennials.
In my side, like, I've gone to work with a fully blown out back, and that's like with working at for Budweiser, throwing cases and stuff, cuz I'm like, man, I got a family at home, you know, I got to go in there, I still got to grind. I can't take that, you know, half pay stuff. You know, it's like sole income, I'm the man of the house kind of thing, and I'm like, I guess that did not pass on to this generation or something as a whole. I'm sure there's some of you out there.
I already told you my over under on that whole marriage is
yeah,
a year.
I don't like it. And she, but it's blind leading the blind, man. She's just like, oh, but he loves me. And I'm like, oh my God, people, someone needs to get slapped some sense into them.
You just had to get that off your chest.
I thought I was a weak generation, right? Like, because I'm an old millennial, you know, but the old millennials are still good. They still have that work ethic, I feel. They also, yeah, they still have that millennialism, you know. We'll eat pumpkin stuff, you know, we'll eat pumpkin bread and whatever, but, and we'll have boba tea. But you know what? We were there whenever dial-up connection existed, man. I had a Walkman. I watched VHS tapes. My first system was an NES. I was there, man. I was in the shit, man.
Hey, Mark, remember the time when, like, our generation, we always made fun of people who listen to AM radio?
Right. And now we are listening to AM radio.
Yeah, 790, 610.
And then we were like, man, FM's where it's at, man. Yeah. A better sound and mm-hmm. you know, all that. Or pagers.
Pagers, yeah. You know. My dad had one.
I had one.
I remember those.
I still like CDs, man. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm not into putting all the music on my phone and Spotify and all that.
It saves your data.
I like to make my own playlists and make my CDs. You know, that's just me. So
that is still fun.
It's getting harder and harder to find blank CDs though.
Yeah,
you can find them like in random weird stores like Big Lots and things. You know.
Yeah, and get the 150 case stack or 150 piece stack for like $5 or something.
Cassette tapes.
Yeah. So what? Let me know your thoughts on that. I'm curious. Is it just me?
No, he's just not tough.
Yeah.
He's a fucking pussy.
I'm like, dude. I was like, I told my wife today. I was like, this guy makes me look like Rambo. And I was like, and I ain't no Rambo.
No.
I ain't no Rambo.
You're a Hambo.
A Hambo, yeah. A Whataburger. Oh.
Dado.
Yeah. Dad Botto.
Yeah. Well. They'll learn.
Yeah,
I guess
so. The hard way.
Live by the sword, die by the sword. You know, they'll figure it out. She has a little one coming, doesn't she?
She does.
That's like why they got married.
Yep, so. Shotgun wedding.
Yeah.
Interesting. And then, not only that, they go to plan a baby shower, which is typically mostly women, right? Unless it's family. And he's like, well, can't my guy friends come? We need to redo this so that my guy friends can be there.
I mean, a baby shower, I don't know.
We did COVID
bridal showers. That's a...
No. I don't know, but it's like you had a separate thing. I don't know.
Well, I did for Waverly. But
it's kind of like...
For Michael and Wyatt, they were co-ed showers.
Yeah.
So...
No one cares. Let's go on.
Yeah. This. Download this.
Yeah. It's getting too fucking lovey-dovey on the show here. It's not even a Valentine's episode.
That's true.
You know, we're not doing Titanic, you know, today.
I'll start quick since I'll be fast. I downloaded Hush and watched it. It's pretty cool. And Hush? I downloaded
What's Hush?
Oh, Batman Hush. And I bought... It? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I liked it. I liked it. I'm not familiar with the original story. I'm not going to lie to you. But for what I saw, I thought it was entertaining.
I like the... There's some things I wish they wouldn't have changed from the comic. But overall, I'm fine with the animated adaption.
And then I bought John Wick Parabellum.
Did you watch it?
I did watch that because I wanted to see... I was like, oh, I want to see the ridiculous knife scene where people keep getting knifed and then thrown into glass.
Even before that, the first scene with the giant.
Oh, yeah.
See, I bought it on Black Friday and haven't sat down and rewatched it yet.
Mm-hmm.
That and the Halle Berry scene.
Oh, yeah, that was good. Yeah. She's still... Man. Mm-mm. Great. I love her in Swordfish.
What else?
That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was...
Have you scored John Wick?
Oh, how do I score it? Man, that's tough. I want to say it's an A because I feel like I was entertained the entire time. Like, as far as an action film goes, I think it's an A action film.
Yeah.
Because I was entertained from start to finish. There was twists.
You get to see his origins.
Yeah. And then, of course, this sparked a spinoff, you know, it's supposed to be a spinoff, right? Yeah. TV series?
You keep talking about the Continental, but I've never heard anything further along with it.
Yeah.
But I like, personally, I rank those films 2, 1, 3. I like 3 a lot, but I think 2 and 1 are better.
Yeah.
But they're so closely related, too. It's like, when I say 2, 1, 3, that's like, 3 is still pretty fucking good.
Yeah. You're like A plus, A minus, or something like that. Yeah. It's all, you know... A high grade.
I just like the way 2 opened up the world so much from where we got. 1 might be a tighter, better film in some ways, but 2, I just like how it opened up the world and it expanded on the mythos of John Wick, and I think that's why I like it better.
Yeah.
You know, and I like Ruby Rose in that movie. I think she's badass.
She is badass in that movie. I like her better than this Orange is the New Black character.
Yeah.
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 Actually, I've watched a few episodes of her Batwoman. She's actually pretty good in Batwoman.
I saw an episode of Batwoman.
It's got the CW clicks and everything, but overall, it's actually... It seems like it's... I haven't followed the CW shows enough anymore, but it just seems like it's actually pretty well written.
Yeah.
From what I've seen of it. Yeah. You know,
and, it looks like it was renewed.
Yeah. I'm curious, maybe... those shows always go to Netflix. I might actually sit down and watch Batwoman when it hits Netflix and watch it all the way through. And, yeah, really the only thing I really watched new this week, I watched the first episode of The Witcher.
Oh, nice. How'd you like it?
Okay, you know, I've heard from several people you kind of have to get a few episodes in to really appreciate it. It's very slow, the first episode.
Yeah.
Lots of exposition and talking. Yeah.
I also saw The Witcher.
And Henry Cavill is good in it.
He's really good.
Yeah. I didn't hate it. I just don't. I don't know. I guess I need to watch more of it. You know? I just saw and
that first monster hunt scene was pretty.
Yeah, cool. That was cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it's legitimately one thing I like about streaming shows is when they first came out. You know, there were a lot of shows that were done with kind of lower budgets, but now Netflix is putting a lot of money into these shows because it's major competition. So you watch stuff like Lost in Space or The Witcher, and it looks like movie quality television. So it's well done.
High budget.
Yeah, and. That's like the only thing I remember really watching this week. I've been playing a lot of God of War, trying to get into that. That game is so good. You were right, Long.
Like, story mode does make it.
Yeah, like I more enjoyable. Like I got Jedi Fallen Order, right? And I was all excited about that, and I haven't played it since like New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Because I've just been playing God of War. You know, like, Jedi Order can wait. You know, play God of War.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's so engaging. you were right about the wow moments in the game. Like, when they say, like, you're, oh, man, that was jaw-dropping, there are moments in this game that even impress me.
Yeah.
And we're a video game generation. We played a lot of games. Things don't impress us very much.
Yeah.
But there's things in God of War, like the dragon battle.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is awesome. Yeah. I catch myself looking and like, oh, shit, I better fight. Yeah. It's just so impressive.
Did you see the, what was it, the first of the world serpents first
appearance? Yeah.
That's just amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's like right out of a cinema scene or something, or like a film. It's really well done.
And have you met the witch in the woods yet?
Met her.
Did you see how they introduced her home?
Yeah, with a turtle.
Isn't that amazing?
It's awesome.
The color part of that, you know, it was just like, they're not afraid to throw greens, yellows, reds, you know.
Yeah, it's purples. A living, breathing world. I'm at the part in the game where you end up going back to Midgard after you go to the mountaintop and cut off the guy's head.
Mm-hmm.
And you go back to Midgard and get his head recovered and all that.
Yeah.
And the serpent moves the bridge so you can go to another land. That's right where I stopped.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But
yeah, there are lots of wow moments. The puzzles are pretty fun and engaging. Mm-hmm. They're basic, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But so put it down in the story mode.
Oh, yeah.
It's still challenging.
It's still hard,
but fun.
But, I mean, that is a game that if you own a PlayStation 4, like, you have to own that game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that good.
What do you think of the story so far?
Oh, it's excellent. Yeah. It's really well done.
Yeah. And, I should have told you the tip. When you get XP, invest as much as you can in the boy.
Yeah, you know, you did. He told me.
Oh, okay, good. Because he is the most useful side character ever.
No, he does
you know, he's like the best side character that's not controlled by you.
Right.
You know, because he'll snipe people for you if you're not looking, and it's just awesome.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah. And really liking it so far.
Yeah. How do you like the father and son dynamic of it?
It's well done. The son just, his world is falling apart. He's trying to get this guy to know this guy who's his father, and that's all he really knows about him. And the father doesn't want to open up, but as you play along, Kratos slowly starts to almost open up a little bit. And there's those moments in the game where you think, oh, he's finally going to say something to his son. And he still is a tough guy and backs up, but it's well done. You can see how it unfolds.
Yeah, you know who plays his voice? Christopher Judge from the Stargate.
Oh, okay.
The black dude from the Stargate. Huh. Yeah.
I thought that voice sounded familiar.
Yeah.
It's very well voice acted, the game.
Oh, God, yeah.
One of the best. Yeah. Even whoever they got to play the kid does a really good job. So
sorry, Xbox. Sorry.
I got Destiny 2, man.
Everyone
who cares.
No, it's definitely one of my top games of the year last year.
Yeah.
You know, so I highly recommend it for sure. As far as download this, I saw The Witcher, and I liked it. Some moments that stuck out to me. Was the fact that the kingdom just fell apart, trying to defend against the Nilfgaardians or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's got steamrolled. But other than that, I haven't felt engaged enough to watch the next few episodes. I've been playing a lot of Warframe, so,
Yeah.
Warframe.
Oh, I did download, I re-downloaded Star Trek Online. And I was playing my character some. I like the space combat on it.
Yeah.
The ground game is boring.
Yeah.
But the space simulator in that game is really good.
Yeah.
I think that's what keeps me engaged enough. I just want to do space battles. But like every battle in the game, you also have a ground part of it. And I'm like, can I just stay in space?
Yeah.
Because it does have a very good space simulator.
There's so many systems in that game, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So many currencies. So many...
I guess I just was in the mood to play something online because I had started a character once. So I re-downloaded my PS4. I was like, I'll play it some.
I'm going to set some time aside for vacation time for a game coming out in March, Cyberpunk.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to take a vacation for just to play that game.
Is it February?
March.
There we go. Income tax time. That's going to be everyone's.
Well, I'm definitely going to probably pre-order The Last of Us. That doesn't come out till May.
Let me know how you do.
Because I love the first one. First one's one of my favorite games I've ever played. Again, PlayStation only game, Matt.
I don't need you. I need you.
Yeah, all the best games are on PlayStation. Greatness awaits. Have you seen their commercials?
Yeah.
Pshaw, pshaw.
Pshaw.
Throw some shade at the Xbox.
Well, that's that. That's all I did. All I have for it, download this.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I mean, plus, you know, I was back to work this week after vacation and been working on a car every day and stuff, so it's just like...
Fall season was busy. It was good for our company, but it was so busy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now it's that slow time of the year. Then you kind of get a little rush before Super Bowl, then it slows down again.
Yeah.
And then you're in the wine business. They try to tell you, like, Valentine's and Easter is busy for wine. Not really. You know, you might sell a little bit more, but, you know, it's not that busy.
Mm-hmm. So,
it's the last... hurrah of fall, I guess.
All right. Well, let's get into today's featured film. A very, very popular film. Maybe one of the more popular films of all time in some ways. It's funny because it wasn't a huge box office hit. It was a modest hit, but it found a following on home video. And they call this a cult classic, but I wouldn't call this a cult classic. I would call this maybe a cult classic the way it found its following, but this is a modern classic because there's no one that hasn't seen this movie or isn't a fan of it, and that is The Princess Bride, you know, which came out in 1987. And, you know, I think this movie's beyond a cult classic now. I think it's a pop culture hit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've never met anyone who doesn't like The Princess Bride or has anything bad to say about it. And it's one of those movies that you show people that have never seen it, and they fall in love with it almost instantly. It's just, like, to quote Cary Elwes, is how you say his last name? Elwes?
Rex from Toy Story?
No, that's a... No. That's the dude who plays Vincenzo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, he said when they were talking about remaking this movie a couple years ago, he goes, there's a shortage of perfect movies in this world. Be ashamed to ruin this one. And he's right. That's how I feel about The Perfect Bride. Just one of those rare gems in film. And, you know, anybody want to summarize it? Because I hate summarizing movies.
Not me.
Matt, you get to summarize then.
So... There is a
boy who can't sleep.
Yeah.
Columbo comes in and
Peter Falk.
Columbo.
Great Peter Falk.
Yeah. Columbo. His grandfather comes in and starts reading this book, and it's great because you get this little audience interaction, and they're saying everything that you're thinking. It starts off sappy. There's this instant love story. In the first 5 minutes, these people fall in love. They have this eternal love for each other. And then a farm boy.
Wesley and Buttercup.
Yes, Wesley and Buttercup. And Wesley goes off to go find his fortune. Buttercup stays behind. And word gets out that he was like captured by a pirate. And so all of a sudden, she is betrothed to marry a prince.
She thinks he's killed by the pirates.
Yeah, she thinks he's killed, not existent anymore. Her love has died. Every so often, I guess, a peasant woman is chosen to be the princess of this city. And so, the prince is going to marry Buttercup.
Prince Humperdinck.
Prince Humperdinck, which I almost mispronounced that. She is kidnapped. Buttercup is kidnapped. And Wesley goes after her in dashing fashion. And there's tons of quotes. This is whenever all the quotes start happening.
One of the movies of all time.
Oh, yeah. I am left-handed. Oh, so am I. Oh.
Well, yeah. Manny Pacquiao plays plays Inigo Montoya.
Yeah.
Potemkin.
Is that how you say that? I thought
it was Potemkin.
Yeah. He's a, you know, he calls this his favorite movie role of all time. And he plays.
That's awesome.
And he plays the other swordsman. And their whole scene whenever, at this point, we don't know it's Wesley. You know, the audience knows, but they think it's the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Yes.
And he's coming up and climbing, and they cut the rope, right, so they can make him fall down. But yet, then he goes, well, if you hand me the rope, I promise not to kill you. He's like, how do you know you're not going to kill me? And their whole exchange is just so well done.
Yeah.
You know?
If I swear to you, will you trust me? Please. No. And he's like, I swear on my dead father.
But to finish your summarize, so he goes on a quest to save Buttercup. And he saves her not even halfway into the movie. And And then he gets involved in, like, I'm trying to remember.
It was
I just watched it today, to
frame the city of Gilder for the murder of the bride.
Right,
so
right.
the prince, you know, captures Wesley, hides him, and
he's of despair.
Yes, and he's going to marry the princess and then have her killed and then blame it on Gilder. And that way, there can be this war that happens with Gilder, and they can destroy them.
There's so much ridiculous. You don't realize how much ridiculous exposition happens in this movie, but you forgive it because there's so much good stuff going on around it. You know.
And Billy Crystal has to has to has to raise Wesley up from the dead, and then you know, he gets carried by Andre the Giant and Diego Montoya, who is looking for the six-fingered man who slain his father. Yeah, Inigo Montoya, with the crazy hair.
Boo! Boo to the
queen,
slimy Phil.
Yes. Boo! Boo! Because you had love and you cast it aside. You
I think whore. That's a good summary.
Everyone's... Me and my best friend, we always quote that scene with the old
bag. This is one of those movies, I don't remember the first time I've seen this. This is one of those movies that I absolutely love and adore. And I just grew up watching this movie. I don't remember, like, not the first time I saw it. It's just... Princess Bride feels like Star Wars. It feels like one of those movies that's always been there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that friend you have that you can reach for when you want to watch a movie. It's a good movie. It's not going to let you down. You know it's going to come through. And that's what I remember about The Princess Bride. I can't pinpoint the first time I really saw it, you know.
This movie is mostly shot in studio, it looks like.
Practical effects.
No, I actually read. A lot of it was shot in England. They used an old castle. A lot of it was shot. It was all kind of shot in one location, you're right. But yeah, it was some of it was in studio, like the mountain climbing scene things and the rats in the desert. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but they did do some location shooting on it too. They used a real castle.
Yeah, the cool thing about this movie is that it's not meant for kids, even though, you know, it's a...
It's got some darker tones to it. Yeah,
yeah, it's kind of... You feel like maybe whenever you look at it, and maybe if you haven't seen it, maybe you think it's going to be like a never-ending story. The popularity is driven by nostalgia, and, you know, it. I feel like Neverending Story doesn't hold up as much as the Neverending... as Princess Bride holds up today. It's not driven by nostalgia. It's a... legitimately good movie that is good for all audiences and everyone can watch. There's wit, there's action. It's one of those movies where, you know, if you're going back and forth with your girl and she's like, I want to watch a romance, Princess Bride. Well, okay, let's watch an action film, Princess Bride. It's like you can really mesh a whole lot of categories into this film. It doesn't pretend to be smarter than its audience.
Right.
And you also have the people that are outside reading the book is also comic relief, helping you relate and connect more to the movie.
Yeah.
So that's a really cool thing about the movie.
And William Goldman, who wrote the book, was trying to bring this to film as early as the late 70s. And he couldn't get studios to back him. And then they finally got Rob Reiner involved, who wanted to make the movie. At one point, they wanted your hero, Arnold Schwarzenegger, to play Andre the Giant. But then Terminator came out, and Arnold became a huge star. And by the time 87 rolled around, he was too expensive for them to put in the film.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was also several different actors almost played Wesley in this. And, you know, but when they finally got the budget to make the movie, they just couldn't afford some of the actors they wanted. So he used a lot of unknowns in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And, and Andre the Giant read for the part as early as like 1983, 84, but it took him a few years before they got the movie made. And they still came back around and had him do the movie and do the part. And he was still learning a lot of English at the time. So a very similar situation like when Dolph Lundgren in Rocky IV, where he had to reread his lines. They did a lot of that with Andre the Giant. But I don't know, because Andre the Giant does a really good job in this movie.
Yeah, he's good.
But yeah, he was still learning English at the time, so they would say a line, he would repeat it. But he does a good job in the movie.
No, his English was good.
Was it good at this point?
Yeah.
I just remember, I think, I was reading something how he was still kind of studying.
Well, you know, wrestlers back in the day tend to be a little, they tend to play up their role.
Yeah.
Like, being character, but they know, he knows his English.
Oh, okay.
He was just trying to drag it out.
Yeah.
Get the payday, you know.
Yeah. And then, of course, the Billy Crystal scene took almost, it was supposed to be a few hours of shooting. It took almost all day because everybody couldn't stop laughing. Rob Reiner, the director, had to walk off the set because he was laughing so hard.
Yeah.
You know, because Billy Crystal is known to be a jokester on set.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Andre the Giant has gone on record saying that this was one of his most favorite time looking back on his life, because it's like the only time in his life, one besides being at home, where he's working, but he's not constantly being prodded and poked at, or you know, being causing a lot of attention to. It was like being on the movie studio set for him was like a vacation from the people just staring at him all the time. The public just.
Well, that's what I read, that like when he was on set, like everybody, no one treated him like a wrestler. Everyone treated him like one of the cast members. Yeah. They were respectful to him, and it was more like friends hanging out making a movie. Instead of, he said it didn't feel like work. Instead, it felt like just and everybody was really nice to him. Yeah, and he, I guess he had a very like special relationship too with like. Apparently, Robin Wright Penn almost became like a... Well, she wasn't Robin Wright Penn back then, but she was almost like a sister to everybody. Like, everybody looked after her, and Andre the Giant would put his hand on her head to keep her warm because it was cold and stuff like that. Yeah. And Carrie Ewells and her, I guess, kind of were spit with each other, so their charisma comes across on screen very naturally. Yeah. You know, they said it was just a good time. You know, we watch Rob Reiner in interviews and stuff. He feels like that type of director, that his movie sets would be just fun to make films, you know? Mm-hmm. And it comes across on the screen that everybody on this film is having a good time making this movie. You know, even Humperdinck. And he's got to play like this stoic, kind of like, you know, wimpy prince guy who wants his way. But yeah, you can tell he's having fun in his part too. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's what's great about The Princess Bride. It's a fun movie. And he says, not for kids, got darker parts. But yeah, kids can watch this too and still enjoy it.
Exactly.
You know, it's a good family film. And,
No, man, I like this guy from, I forget the actor's name, but Robin Hood, Men in Tights?
Carrie Ewells, yes.
Carrie Ewells. My wife had trouble watching this film because I first introduced him to her through Robin Hood, Men in Tights with him and Chappelle, you know, leading that film, and she thought it was just dumb. And I was like, it's hilarious. You gotta watch this. But she didn't like the actor. She wasn't fazed by the love story at all. Mm. So.
Like, she didn't like The Princess Bride?
She thought it was.
Divorce her. Four kids in, divorce her.
And blame it on the pregnancy hormones. Just making her crazy.
I'm sorry.
Favorite line, favorite quote.
Boo! My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Yes.
That's a good line. As you wish.
As you wish.
Is always famously quoted.
I'm also left-handed.
I already did my quote.
Yeah.
Inconceivable.
The 25th anniversary of the book had an epilogue, which was like mixed of like a chapter that he had written for a sequel. Called Buttercup's Baby.
Weird.
But they never did publish a sequel. And, you know, William Goldman has talked like it could still happen one day, but the sequel book never got published. And basically, Buttercup and Wesley's daughter gets kidnapped and he has to go rescue her. And his daughter's name is actually Waverly, which we did kind of take that name from this book. Mm. And that's why we named her daughter Waverly. Nice. And so she's named after The Princess Bride, technically. Nice. Everyone wants to always say the Disney show. Waverly, what was that? Wizards of Waverly Place? I'm like, I didn't even know what that was when someone said that. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. What is that?
That's Selena Gomez. Show.
And I'm like, I didn't even know what it was. I was like, no, we took it for The Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so there was going to be a sequel to this, but it never happened. At least in book form. You know, maybe it will one day. You know?
I lied about Jake's name. I told him that I named him after Jake the Snake Roberts, and he told his teachers
and to your kids.
And I go to school. Like for the Halloween carnival that they have there, the trunk or treat, and they're like, Jake the Snake. And then the teacher's like, yeah, he told me you named him after Jake the Snake Roberts. Oh, Lord. And I was like, yeah, sure. So I always call him Jake the Snake, but obviously.
But I think, though, your wife missed all the points of why this is such a good movie.
Yeah. Because
it stood the test of time almost 30 years later. Mm-hmm. Because it has all those elements that make a good movie. And it's a good story. It's simplistic enough that you can follow it. But yet it's got a lot going on in it, too. It's very well paced. It's only an hour and a half long. But it feels like kind of epic, too. You know.
Yeah, it feels like there's a build-up. It's paced.
It's got romance. It's got action. It's got adventure. It's got comedy in it. You know, it's like... How could you not like... That's going to bug me now. How could someone not like this movie? But then again, there's people who don't like Pan's Labyrinth.
Sometimes I feel like it has a TV studio look to it. You know? In some parts.
I could see that. It
doesn't really match it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, the story is great, but sometimes the technical
production... But I wonder if sometimes they did that on purpose.
Yeah.
They want to look like almost like a stage production type deal.
Yeah, stage production or TV production.
Yeah.
And you know, the romance in this film... It's not about love. It's what love will make you do. It's about what you will do because of love.
Are you deep cutting Princess Bride?
That's right, man. Deep.
Ew.
Wesley drank poison. He drank poison for love. He came back to life from the dead for love. He bluffed his way. He was ready to fight and die, even though he was immobile, for love.
That's right. You know that they don't ever name the boy, do they?
I don't think so.
Just the boy.
Just the boy.
He mentions kissing every time except for once in the movie. Like, every time they kiss, he's like, oh, not again, except for when she jumps on him in the bed.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the movie. It's the only time he doesn't say anything, because I guess the whole idea is, at that point, even the boy's engaged in the story, that even at that point, it doesn't bother him. That's kissing. And did you know that the rat, there's a real man inside it?
What?
Yes. And interesting story, he was late on set that day. They're ready to film, and he's not there. I'm like, what are we going to do? He shows up at the last minute, gets dressed, and he tells some crazy story. They went to a bar the night before, and he got held up. He got pulled over by a cop, and they took him into jail because he was drinking. And he got out of jail by telling him, look, I need to be out of here. I'm an actor. I have to film a giant rat scene. And the police officer said the story was so bizarre, they said, okay, just go. We'll let you go. Instead of holding him in jail. They were like, what?
That's awesome.
A giant rat? So, yeah, I didn't realize that until I was researching the movie, that those were real. That was actually an actor inside a rat suit.
You know? Man.
And that part's a little, you know, the special effects are a little bit kind of cheesy, but you mm-hmm. know, but I get what you're saying. Like, it looks like a stage production or TV, but I think it goes with the film for some reason. Mm. It just has a look like it's all, and that, you know, they're traveling, but they don't feel like they're traveling very far. It feels like everything takes place in a kind of a small area, but yet epic, you know, too.
Yeah.
And I like the movie too, and I always like sword fights in movie, and this movie has a couple of really good sword fights.
Oh yeah.
And the actors trained for weeks to get their fencing down right because they wanted to look real. And all their techniques, there have been like fencing directors and things like that, teachers, that have said that this movie is very accurate as far as how their styles are in the film. Yeah. Yeah. Which, that's cool. So, you know, they took the time to make it look real. You know?
There we go.
So it's not all stage production. No, it's not.
Yeah.
But,
it's all right. I'd give it A-, B-plus in that area.
Yeah, that's fair. A minus, B plus.
I don't know. I rate this one pretty highly. I think it's a solid A, almost an A plus for me.
Just don't fall for one of the classic blunders.
We didn't even talk about that scene with the whole poison thing.
Ever heard of Aristotle? Then, Socrates?
Then the simple explanation is like, I spent years building up immunity to that poison. Like, okay, that's it. You just accept that it. And the it's
not I have poison both.
It's not a real poison, but they did make it up for the movie. You know,
because
I guess
it's odorless.
Research that.
Tasteless.
You know, and
look over there.
It's like, you know, how far
what's over was? Here?
but you know, and that's where the movie comes in. Just it's smart. It's so, like you said, it doesn't insult its audience, but yet it's so smart too. And like little scenes like that.
You are attempting to steal what I've rightfully stolen. rightfully kidnapped.
And the actor who played Vincenzi, we talked about this movie being very quotable. He got the worst of it. He says, like, he's nice to the fans about it, but he says he does, like, over the years, get tired of people coming up to him and going, inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
I can imagine how that could get a little old.
At
conventions and things over the years. That's who Colin Pulizzi should get. I'm going to say his last name wrong. Manny Pat. I know he does conventions. You know, mm-hmm. So I would love to see him at a Comic-Con or a Comic Blues. Because I know he has done conventions. He's really good in that show, Homeland, on Showtime.
Yeah.
He's in that. And he's really good in that show. I don't know. Homeland, though, you get to like season 4, it wasn't as good. I stopped watching it. But I watched like the first 3 seasons of that show. That show was really good. And he's in it like a CIA guy. A completely different part than in Inigo Montoya. But, you know, he's appeared a lot of stuff over the years. Like, he's kind of become a character actor that he'll show up in things. You're like, oh, there's the guy from The Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, yeah. But, yeah, no, one of my favorite movies of all time. This is a good movie and good to talk about. And I'm sorry that your wife didn't like it. I think he was just watching it with the wrong eyes because I've never met anybody who doesn't like this movie. What's wrong with her?
I thought it was odd that she didn't like it either because I'm like, it's foolproof.
I would have looked right at her with a straight face and said, I'm trading you in. What's wrong with you?
Trading you in.
All right. Well, let's get to some news for this week. A show, I guess I didn't talk about this and download this, because I don't always mention if I'm rewatching old stuff, but every now and then I like to rewatch a show. I've been rewatching Firefly lately, because it's one of my favorite shows. I'm not a huge Joss Whedon fan, but I thought Firefly was legit good when it was on television. Yeah. And I liked the movie Serenity. And then all of a sudden the news, it hit that Fox is kind of interested in reviving Firefly. But I think Joss Whedon has already said he's not going to do it unless he's involved, and he doesn't seem interested anymore. Most of the actors have moved on. You know, the guy who played Shepherd Book in the show, he's passed on in real life. And then in the movie, they killed off a couple of characters. So at this point, I think Firefly, Fox should just realize, hey, they fucked up back in 2002 by not giving the show a chance. They canceled it after 14 episodes, and at least they got the movie, and Firefly story's been continuing in comics and novels and stuff. But they said something about, like, if they can make it relevant for today's time. That tells you right there, Fox didn't get what Firefly was about in the first place. Mm-hmm. It's about a Western in space. It's not about making it relevant. It's about telling good stories. Yeah. You know, and so I think it's one of those things, just leave alone. You guys never really watched Firefly, did y'all?
I did.
Did you? Yeah. Yeah, I love it, man.
There's only six episodes, right?
Well, you know, only airing like eight, but there's 14 total. Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah. Because I have the DVD set, and then...
It's after one season, right?
Yeah. I have the DVDs, then Vudu last week, and it may still be on sale, has it for $5.99. So I bought it on Vudu just to have it in HD. Because shit, the Blu-rays are like $40. Wow. I was like, I can get the damn the Blu-rays or the HD quality on Vudu for $6. I was like, you know, I'm gonna buy it so I can watch it in high definition. Because the DVDs are a little bit older, so they kinda have some of that grain, you know, on them.
Yeah.
And but yeah, it was such a good show. If you want to watch something really good, Matt, man, Firefly, you'd enjoy it. And the movie's good too. And we might do the movie one day on the show. You never know. So, research.
And man, I cannot read my own fucking handwriting.
Dr. Strange lost his director.
Oh, I saw that.
Scott Dickerson. Derrickson. Is that how you say it? Creative differences, apparently, but he's going to stay on as an executive producer.
I bet you he wanted to make it scarier.
A little scarier. I think so, too.
That's why he wants
I was reading some of his tweets and some of his influence and stuff, and I think he wanted to go darker than Marvel wanted it. And then, and you know, Kevin Feige a few weeks ago mentioned, like, oh, it's not quite the horror movie you think it is. And I kept thinking about that quote that Kevin Feige said, so maybe it went back to that. Like you said, he wanted to make it darker and scarier.
Yeah.
And they say it's not going to miss production. They said production still starts in May. Mm-hmm. So they're going to find a director pretty quickly. I don't know who they're going to use. Maybe somebody's already done an MCU film, you know. I don't know who's available. I'm sure they'll find somebody.
They'll find someone.
You know.
Someone who'll take the marching orders.
Yep.
Fuck, man, I even got to write my damn...
Come on, Mark.
Use the Babelfish translator.
All
the
CW shows are renewed.
Oh, yeah, your Star Trek 4 long. Mm. How do you say the guy's name? That's directing
Noah Hawley.
Mm-hmm. He's saying it's going to be it may be another reboot. He's not sure. I guess it must be real early pre-production, because he doesn't know if they're going to use the Kelvin cast or not yet. But he said, looking likely, it's going to be a whole another start for Star Trek. And I don't know.
Paramount doesn't know.
Yeah, I just feel like you should have gotten that cast together for one more film, you know, and now you're going to reboot it again. And it's going to get to the point where the general audiences care. You know, Star Trek fans will still watch it, probably. But will general audiences care? You know, because I felt that you only got three movies with that new cast. And I felt like you should have done at least one more. You know, but that's the problem now. You put a big cast together, you can't keep guys together as long as they want more money. Mm-hmm. They become big stars. You know, I don't know. And then he says it's going to be more of a character study instead of action. You know, I don't know. And I made a comment like, oh, so you're going to make a boring Star Trek movie.
Sounds like
Star Trek is never made for movies in the first place.
Yeah.
Its home isn't television. All the best stories are on television.
Yeah. You know? When is Picard coming out?
This month, I think.
Is it this month?
Yeah.
That I did want to watch. Yeah. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I have to find a way to illegally watch
it. TV is really the real home of Star Trek, you know, so...
Yeah. Did y'all watch that New Mutants trailer?
No.
For the new
one? Yes.
I did watch it.
Yeah, I did, but I didn't really care.
It's better than the first trailers that came out, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
You know, and now there's rumors that it might.
Because Disney's in charge of the trailers now.
Yeah. It's one of those movies that I probably, like, I don't think I'll go to the theater and see, but I'll probably watch it eventually. I mean, you know, I like the X-Men universe enough that I'll eventually watch the film.
Oh, apparently, we're watching the original director's cut.
Yeah.
And not the reshoots that Fox forced the director
forced to do. I thought that was interesting, too. Yeah, so we get
Disney, when Disney bought it, they saw the revised cut, and they weren't impressed. Hmm. So I guess they watched the original director's cut, and then they said, we'll go with that one.
Yeah.
You know? And then we'll just use parts of the reshoots, and then, you know.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, and the director was on Twitter, says that's the original cut as far as I know. That's what they told me. You know, that's cool, you know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it does. It comes out in April. May not be a huge hit, but, you know, at least it's getting a release finally. Because I do feel in a sense that if a director takes his time to make the movie and make his form of art in some way, that, you know, it deserves to be released at some point, whether it was Netflix or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that Disney didn't just shelve the film, though it is at least getting a release. And we'll see if it's any good. But I'm with you, though. I think most people at this point, they just want to see MCU movies. They want to see the X-Men come into the MCU. They don't really care about the other X-Men movies yet. But,
yeah,
you know, we'll see how New Mutants go.
I saw the second final trailer for the Harley Quinn movie coming up.
I saw that hit. I didn't watch it yet, though.
I only saw it without the audio. I was like, whoa, that looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Actually, did a better job with it.
Mm-hmm. That comes out next month,
yeah.
I think. So pretty soon, Birds of Prey.
And it was only had $120 million budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then last news, I guess they're developing a Willow TV series for Netflix. You know, and I know long you're like, oh, Willow. That's not one of your favorites. Okay. I like Willow.
I like it.
And
overrated, in my opinion.
I don't know. I just, it's one of those movies I really enjoy Willow. But then Warwick Davis came out today and he said, not so fast, that Disney hasn't actually greenlit it yet. But they have a pre-production office. They have a pilot script written by John Kasdan, who is, of course, Lawrence Kasdan's kid, who wrote, you know, Solo and all that stuff, Return of the Jedi. So, in all likelihood, Disney is going to approve this, you know, but what Warwick Davis wanted to slow people's expectations a little bit, say, hey, we're still a little ways off from this. It might be 22 before we get this. You know, it might be a couple years. So, but I think it's kind of cool. I think there's a market for it. Willow has a pretty big underground following.
Yeah.
For Indiana Jones.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. And, but, you know, we'll see. I enjoy Willow. I think it's an interesting universe. And, you know, George Lucas, you know, he wrote like two more books that were set in the Willow universe that never came to film. And so, there's a lot that can be done there with that series. And from what I've understand, the books get pretty dark, you know, and a little more darker than the Willow film did. And so we'll see.
You said George Lucas wrote
it? Yeah, Lucas wrote him. He had a co-writer with him. I want to say it was Chris Claremont.
Oh.
Wrote them with him. Oh. Yeah. And they were set in the Willow universe, a couple of novels back in the 90s that came out. So we'll see where they go with that. But I'd be down for a Willow show.
Heck yeah. Val Kilmer. And Val Kilmer's going to come back?
Right now.
Nah. I enjoy Willow. And if we ever do Willow on the show, we are definitely have to have Johnny Neese on the show.
As a kid when I saw Willow, I was like, meh. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it looks cool and all, but I just didn't relate to it. Didn't find it engaging enough, personally.
Yeah, I like it.
I enjoyed Howard the Duck more. No.
Anyway. I was trying to think of...
Suburban Commando.
I don't know. Suburban Commando.
So next week... That's all the news, by the way.
Yeah.
Unless you buy outside anything.
No.
So next week, man, we are... We rebooted the Rebel Radio Podcast with episode 81. That's when we decided to do a featured film every episode, and we kicked it off with Batman. And so next week is episode 181. So that's 100 films later. So we're going to celebrate our 100th film by doing a film that is a little more serious than some of these fun films we've done. But we're going to have some fun in the episode, too. Log, you're going to be out of town, unfortunately, so you're going to miss our 100th film.
Yeah.
But we are going to have Rob from Random Ramblings with Rob come on the show and join us. He is a Marine, or former Marine, retired Marine. So he will talk, and we're going to do Saving Private Ryan.
Dear Mr. Brian Boyd, no doubt by now you have received full information about the untimely death of your son. However, there are some personal details.
I believe
that
very strongly.
No words of mine can ever.
He was a fine soldier.
Regarding the circumstances leading to his death,
I felt his loss tremendously.
Robert's commanding officer.
His heroic service to his country.
He was a great soldier, dedicated friend.
The grace of God and the aid of your
those
son,
of us
I'm alive.
Please accept my most sincere condolences.
He will live in our memories.
To you, my deepest sympathy.
Colonel, I've got something you should know about.
Yes.
These two men died in Normandy. This one at Omaha Beach.
Sean Ryan.
This one in Utah.
Peter Ryan.
This man was killed last week in New Guinea.
Daniel Ryan.
The three men are brothers, sir. I've just learned that this afternoon their mother's getting all three telegrams. That's not all. There's a fourth brother, the youngest. He's somewhere in Normandy. We don't know where.
That boy's alive. We're gonna send somebody to find him. And we're gonna get him the hell out of there.
Some private in the 101st lost three of his brothers and he's got a ticket home.
It's not gonna be easy finding one particular soldier in the whole damn war.
Just a name. But if finding him so he can go home, if that earns me the right to get back to my wife, well, then that's my mission.
Which is, of course, we announced on our social media several weeks ago that we were doing this show. You know, it's funny, we're almost doing two perfect films back-to-back, you know, with The Princess Bride.
Pretty much.
Because Saving Private Ryan, to me, is a absolutely incredible film. One of the best movies I've ever seen in my life, it's, you know. And with a lot of deep meaning to it and a lot of importance to it, too. And, you know.
Nice cast, too.
Yeah, oh, amazing cast, amazing acting, amazing production. Steven Spielberg, one of the best films he's ever made, you know. And because... Because it's one of those movies where everything is put on screen. All the actors, the directors, they believe in what they're doing and telling the important story of what these men went through in World War II. You know, and
that's good.
So is it a fictional story, though?
It is. It's loosely based on a story about them looking for a brother in combat.
Yeah.
So it is. There is some truth behind it. But some of the battles in it are real.
Yeah, the battles are real.
But the platoon, yeah, there's some... they're all loosely based on real characters. Like, I remember reading somewhere that, like, even Tom Hanks' captain is based on captain that people knew. So they're loosely based, you know. But it doesn't affect the impact of it at all.
No.
By any means. Quite an amazing film. So that'll be next week's episode. We talk Saving Private Ryan, it's our 100th film. But we won't all be serious, though. Like I said, we'll have some fun on the episode, too, with Rob on the show. And talk some good stuff next week for our 100th film.
Just don't mention Obama around him. No, I'm joking.
Rob's cool. You ever watch his Walmart logs on his Instagram?
I have a couple times.
I love how they're funny. Rob just walks around, talks about crazy shit he finds at Walmart. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And, so that's on next week's episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. And so go to therebelradiopodcast.com and look for all our episodes, follow our social media, join our Patreon. And we will probably have an announcement this week as to what our Patreon episode for the month of January is going to be, because that'll be coming soon to you all.
Yes.
So, but until next time, thanks as always for listening. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long.
And until next time, just go there and do it.
Do it.
Hey, you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. My name is Sean Patrick Flannery, and I hope you dig the podcast.